You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, you've been busy already here in November. The Twins have been busy. Been one of those teams that really jumped to the forefront of the hot stove season right away. First of all, let's go through a couple moves here, but we'll start with Byung-Ho Park, who is obviously an intriguing, especially on the heels of what Young-Ho Kang, who finished third in the NL Rookie of the Year voting, on the heels of what he did in Pittsburgh this past summer. There's a lot of interest in Park. Different players. Park, obviously, more first base and maybe left field, but that's debatable. But the pure power is really something intriguing, especially by the standards of the day. What were your thoughts on the Twins getting the winning bid and as they go forward here these next couple of weeks trying to work out a contract with him?
I mean, it definitely surprised me. I mean, the Twins already had, you know, options at first base and DH. You know, Joe Mauer's a regular first baseman. Miguel Sano saw a lot of time at DH last year. Trevor Plouffe still on the roster at third base. They're kind of crowded there in the, you know, the corner infield spot. So kind of a surprise to go after Park. But the Twins needed power. They really wanted right-handed power bat. They got a chance here to get one, maybe even a discounted price in a sense that, you know, it's kind of an unproven slugger in a sense. You know, obviously they had to pay the posting fee. They had to still sign into a contract, first of all. But it's not going to be some crazy, you know, free agent, you know, number one type guy, you know, kind of deal here. So the Twins possibly could get some sort of discount, some sort of deal here if he produces. But there's obviously risk, you know. You never know what you're going to get. But it is a good time, like you said, to see Kang do so well in Pittsburgh. You know, similar numbers. I mean, Park actually has had better numbers offensively because obviously Gong's a middle infielder, while Park's a first baseman. But this is a guy that has legit power, hitting over 50 home runs in back-to-back years. I mean, the Korean baseball organization does, you know, kind of skew toward offense a little bit, but that kind of power is still legit to have that many home runs. So, yeah, kind of a surprise the Twins did that, but Twins are trying to make it work here by maybe moving Miguel Sano to the outfield. But, you know, a big possible impact that for the Twins here.
Yeah, you mentioned Sano to the outfield, and that seems the obvious solution here. And then the next move, the Aaron Hicks trade, just made that more obvious, although obviously there's still a good bit of speculation out there about Trevor Plouffe potentially being moved to open up third base for Sano. Do you think there's any merit to that at this point, or does the outfield just make too much sense?
I think there's at least a chance of that happening right now. The Twins do believe that Miguel Sano can handle third base. So if that's the case, they'd like to probably have him there long-term, you know, kind of going forward. But as of right now, they still have Plouffe under contract here for a couple more seasons. He's been a solid contributor for this team. He's one of the team leaders. So I think, you know, he's a pretty good offensive player too, Plouffe is. I think the Twins would like to have some offense this year. I think having Plouffe and Sano and Mauer and all those guys kind of all in the same lineup in Park would be their best offensive lineup. But it's also tough because last year, it seems like they kind of made some strides defensively, especially in the outfield, using kind of that young, fast outfield a couple times late in the season with, you know, Eddie Rosario and Hicks and Buxton. So you thought maybe this year the Twins wanted to go all in on defense, but it turns out they kind of look like they're kind of going toward offense a little bit with Sano in the outfield. So it's still not for sure that Sano can even handle the outfield yet. I mean, right now, I think he's taking some fly balls in the Dominican Winter League. I think he's going to try to play a little bit of, you know, outfield in spring training, because it's the first time ever playing out there, so it's not like a done deal. You know, Twins are more than anything, they're kind of just trying it out. But if Sano proves he can handle the outfield, obviously he's a big guy at 6'4", you know, 260 pounds. But if he proves that he can handle it a little bit, it would be, a big thing for the offense, like I said, because he can get his bat in there with everybody else's. But still a chance the Twins could move Plouffe. I thought maybe before, heading into the offseason, maybe Plouffe he can move for catching help. But obviously that already happened with Aaron Hicks with catching help, so if Plouffe were to be moved, it would probably be now for pitching help.
Yeah, I was definitely taken back the dual-pronged moves there because, like you said, Rhett, I mean, they were trending in the direction of kind of a fun, athletic outfield. And not that their lineup now, their lineup now might be fun in a much different way. If Park comes as advertised from a power perspective, if Sano continues to build on what he did. But, yeah, in moving Hicks, they shore up an area that can be traditionally difficult to shore up in the catching field with John Ryan Murphy. Talk about what they're getting back in Murphy.
Well, I think it was a fair trade. I think Hicks obviously has a chance here to break out. He had a nice second half for the Twins finally after all this time of struggling in the majors. But Murphy, you know, is a guy that has a chance to be an above-average regular catcher. The Twins have him here for five more seasons under contract. So this is a position the Twins felt like they really needed to upgrade this season. You know, Kurt Suzuki struggled last year. They're looking for, you know, kind of a guy to maybe split some time with Suzuki this season and Suzuki's last year of his contract. And then from there, Murphy can kind of take over as the regular. The Twins have a couple guys in their farm system, you know, that they like Stuart Turner and Mitch Garver, but they kind of might be more likely to be backups while Murphy has more starter potential. This is a guy who's, you know, I think defensively is regarded as above average, has a great arm, throws out a decent amount of runners, which was one of the big problems for the Twins last year. Offensively, there's a chance to be at least maybe a little bit slightly above average, but at least for a catcher, not too much power. But I think he's going to be confident enough to be a solid regular going forward. I think Hicks has more potential to maybe break out and be an all-star, that type of player, just because he's, you know, a guy that was ranked in the, you know, Baseball America and MLB.com top 100 prospects for several years. But I think that Murphy's got more of a chance just to be a solid regular at a position the Twins really, really needed. Whereas with Hicks, you know, the Twins have so many young outs. You can handle center field, obviously Byron Buxton being, you know, the baseball's number one overall prospect. You know, Max Kepler can handle center field. Eddie Rosario can handle center field. All young, cost-controlled outfielders. So the Twins kind of basically dealt from a, you know, a surplus to get a position of need, and they get a guy now for five seasons who I think can be a solid catcher for the Twins going forward.
Good old-fashioned baseball trade. Rhett, what's next moving forward? I mean, we know they've got rotation depth. You think the bullpen is the priority from here on out?
I think the bullpen is going to be the big thing right now. I think the Twins right now are looking for some power arms. The Twins last year, you know, the relievers finished last in the majors in strikeouts. I think they'd like to get maybe a power lefty, potentially, to kind of go along with, you know, Glenn Perkins and Kevin Jepsen. The Twins are kind of set at least in the back end. But if they can get, you know, one or two kind of, you know, I guess a leader, at least above average type, you know, relievers that they can plug in there to go some of their internal options, that's the biggest thing. I think they have some rotation depth. Obviously, any team could do with a better type, you know, number one, number two type starter, but I just don't know how the Twins are going to acquire one at this point. I don't think they're going to want to really dive into prospects and trade for one yet, and I don't think they're going to want to sign a guy out there like a Price or a Greinke or maybe even a Zimmerman. So I think more than anything, I think the rest of the offseason, I think the big focus will be on shoring up that bullpen. But I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they did, you know, try to maybe fix the rotation a little bit too here.
Elsewhere in Twins news, Rhett, this week, Paul Molitor and Miguel Sano, they're both kind of the bridesmaids, so to speak, in discussions for Manager of the Year and Rookie of the Year. But, you know, very deserving to be finalists for both awards. I think everybody assumed it would be Correa or Lindor for Rookie of the Year. And Manager of the Year just seemed to be a lot more attention on Hinch and Bannister as those teams went to the postseason. But Molitor did one heck of a job. Sano had one heck of a first entry into the big leagues. What was your takeaway from awards week and the Twins' involvement in it?
Well, so impressive, like you said, for Molitor and for Sano to finish third, to be in that top 30. You know, Molitor had a great first season as manager. The Twins coming in with, you know, low expectations. A lot of people had them, you know, pegged to finish last and, you know, have another 90-loss season here. And sure enough, you know, Twins go out and have their first winning season since 2010. They're not eliminated until the postseason, but second to the last day of the season. So, yeah, he did a great job. I think the thing that with Molitor was he's probably hurt by the fact the Twins didn't make the postseason, whereas, you know, the Rangers did win the, you know, the West. So I think that's probably what helped Bannister so much. And Hinch, finishing second, you know, the Astros, same thing, making the postseason there as a wild card team. I think hurt them. And Sano, the numbers, like I said, offensively, I think were better than Lindor or Correa, at least on a rate basis in terms of his overall, you know, on-base percentage and slugging percentage and, you know, home runs per game and all that kind of stuff were better. But I think the hard thing was, you know, playing in 20 fewer games than Lindor and Correa certainly, you know, hurt his case, as did the fact that we know that, you know, Lindor and Correa, especially Lindor, are so good defensively as shortstop. It's hard to overcome that one. Sano was mostly a DH. But the fact that, you know, Sano played in 80 games pretty much strictly as a DH and still finished third shows you how good offensively he was. And, you know, it was a good sign, too, even just for Eddie Rosario to pick up a couple of votes to finish sixth. So it just shows the Twins have a bright future here. The manager that, you know, finished in the top three here, a top prospect in Sano, they had a great rookie season, and even Rosario. So a good sign for the Twins, even though they didn't take home any of the hardware. Still a good awards week for the Twins.
All right, Rhett's all over it, and we'll continue to track what happens with the Park contract and where Mr. Sano lands in the field. It'll be interesting to see how the Twins follow up a very surprised rise of the AL Central standings. I want to thank Rhett for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.